For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You guys always hear from the most negative fans. Fans I talk to never come up to me and say, Rick, this is the start of just the same stuff as last year. But they seem to seek you guys out in the comment sections.
How about that?
Imagine that. Any event, I understand the pessimism. In fact, we talked about that going back to spring training of the offseason, that there's going to be a level of prove it over the course of this summer, not simply from a health standpoint, but from a performance standpoint, a competitiveness standpoint, approach on the field, attitude, preparation, all that stuff. We knew we were going to have to show that we were making market improvement over where we were. The injuries thus far have certainly been frustrating. I think if you get a little too myopically focused on the White Sox, it's certainly easy to say, oh, woe is us, but if you take a little broader view and you look around the league, it's everywhere.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Not goodbye, we're just getting rolling. Starting off the second hour of our three-hour extravaganza this morning. Now it's a radio show because Paul Sullivan is on it. Paul Sullivan, the baseball bigfoot for the Chicago Tribune, joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hello, Sully. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Maddie. I thought that guy would never shut up, that last caller.
Oh, Rick Hahn?
I think you should. No, not Rick Hahn.
Oh, Ben from Queens. Ben from Queens.
From Queens. Man, get a show, Ben from Queens.
Yeah.
We don't need to hear every opinion on every matter, how he rose, whatever. Come on.
Yeah, you know, I was telling
your producer, you need a dump button for those guys.
I almost shut him down when he started talking about how he rose, but I knew that there was good stuff coming. Ben is like, you know, it's like he just throws everything at the wall and he hopes a couple of things stick. You know. I couldn't help myself, Sully. It came across my mind. I wasn't originally going to talk about it, but then I did at about 9:30. I don't know if people caught it or not, but it's just like the choice of Gold Digger by Mike Clevenger at Guaranteed Rate the other night, and then his comment after, which you put in your column, it was James Fegan who asked the question, right? James Fegan who said, why'd you come out with Gold Digger? And he was asked about the selection, and Mike Clevenger said, quote, are you a music producer? No? Okay. Well, if you have a baseball question, I'm here for you. I have no other choice than to take it. As what it appears to be, which is a really gross and vindictive choice to spike the ball on a alleged victim of domestic abuse that the White Sox either empowered or simply allowed through mismanagement and oversight, right? I mean, that's how I have to take that at this point.
Oh, yeah. This definitely seems pretty obvious that he was doing that for a reason. He's a very immature person, as I think we've all discovered at this point. You know, a smart person would have just let it go and, you know, moved on and maybe breathed a sigh of relief that, you know, he got out of this investigation unscathed. But no, it's, you know, because no one's been asking about it, about this thing since then. It's pretty much over with. But then he had to do it again, his first game as a starter at Sox Park. And you know, he should just own it, but, you know, once again, we're dealing with a different kind of person and he's not going to own it. So he's just going to leave it out there. And I mean, can you prove that that's the reason that he t- played that song was to dig at his ex. You can't. So you just can speculate, and I don't know what goes on in his mind or what's left of his mind, but, you know, it's just kind of immature, to say the least.
Paul, you've been around for a lot of different PR staffs, a lot of different front offices on both sides of town, trying to deal with volatile and immature players. And is there more that can be done by a team or an organization than just kind of allowing the person to have the confidence they need, allowing the person to express themselves? Is there more that the White Sox could have done in this situation?
Well, yeah, they could have said no, pick a new song, but that would be saying no to a baseball player, and I don't ever see that happening anymore. That's kind of like old school to tell a baseball player no. He's totally enabled now. He's got his guaranteed contract. There's nothing you can do. And actually, it turns out he's one of their better starters, at least at the start of the season. So I'm sure he feels more empowered by that, which could be good if they wanted to trade him at the deadline. But I don't know if, you know, when he does stuff like this, and he definitely knew it was going to get out there one way or another, maybe not as quickly as it did, but he knew that he would get.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The reaction out of it, and he knew it would go on Twitter and on the internet, so he knew what he was doing, and other teams see this, and, you know, maybe he'll be pitching in Japan next year, like Bauer, who knows, but it just, I don't know, it was just a bad, stupid incident, and hopefully he wises up and doesn't do it again, but I wouldn't count on that.
There was a 0% chance that we were going to be talking about this, that anybody in town would be talking about Clevenger and that whole situation until he did that. 0%.
He had a good outing. He pitched well. Pitched well so far, and he's really interesting to watch. He's got that crazy, you know, really funky delivery, and you know, I don't know. I just don't know why he felt the need to do that. Maybe there's just something in his brain that he just can't help himself. But yeah, the White Sox could have told him no, don't pick that song, do something else, but. You know, the White Sox did not, so here we are.
So here we are. What a shame. What a shame. Let's move on to the team itself. A caller had wanted me to ask you about Rick Hahn's defensiveness, or I think that's you hear that? The way that he put it. Do you read it like that? Does it bother you at all?
Honestly, we have like one of those moments with Rick, I think, every press conference I've gone to in the dugout, at least in the last year since they've been taking a downturn, because they're very sensitive to Twitter and what's said about them. And of course, you know, the beat writers are going to bring up the bad things that happen. And so I think he was kind of just joking around that, oh my gosh, you guys, no one says these things to me, you know, and maybe there's no Sox fans in the Winnetka Starbucks. I don't know. I don't know who he's talking to in his off time, but certainly you and I and anyone else that has anything to do with baseball hears from Sox fans all the time, and they're pretty ticked off, to say the least, especially after all the spring training talk about how what a regimented, structured team this is under Pedro, and yeah. Things are going to be different. And, we're seeing the same stupid mistakes, bad defensive plays. Even yesterday, Colas airmailed the ball to the infield.
Yep.
That it wasn't an error or anything, but it was just the kind of play that you're like, come on,
Yes.
And stuff like that, just a little stuff like that. The other day, Sosa didn't cover second base on a double. It's just maddening.
It really is. Two things. First of all, I can't tell you the amount of foot traffic you've just driven to the Winnetka Starbucks, Paul.
It could be the Wilmette Starbucks. I'm not really sure on that. I don't know what Starbucks he goes to.
I don't know
where he lives, but
I'm sure there's not just one in each of those towns.
I don't want a lawsuit against me or the score because I pointed out the wrong Starbucks.
Hey, we've been threatened before. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm just making a point that I don't know how many Sox fans that he runs into on a daily basis outside of Sox Park.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But the play where you're talking about where Colas airmails the throw, it's just so funny because yeah. You're right. It doesn't matter. But even as you watched it, I don't know if you caught, there were two infielders backing up the throw because they knew. Like, it was so sloppy. Like, Andrus was over there because I think it was Sosa he airmails, and Andrus is over there with Berger. Whether Andrus's instinct was like, boy, I don't trust Jake to back up this throw, so I have to do. It was just like, it's just such a slop fest sometimes. It's so disappointing.
And it's early. Hopefully they'll clean it up. But yeah. It's just disappointing because I think when they came out of spring training, the fans I talked to, pretty upbeat about the way things went. And, Pedro is a good guy. Seems like a smart, fundamentals-oriented manager. And mm-hmm. they thought that stuff would be cleaned up. But, maybe it's not the manager at this point.
Well, but also maybe it takes more than just, one spring training,
Yeah.
It takes some real time. It's a long season. Like these first couple of months is a big stretch for Pedro.
Yeah.
It's like you are trying to hold players accountable. I wish he had the depth where he could sit guys down every once in a while. Go ahead. What happened to benching? Good job, AJ Hinch, taking out Javi Baez the other day. I mean, sometimes you need to do that. It changed Andrew Jones's career in Atlanta.
Yeah, but no one ever does that. I don't expect he's going to do that. Javi gets that happens to him once every year, and then he acts like it's never happened, and he wakes up and has a good game the next game.
Yeah,
but Pedro is to me, and I don't know him that well, but he's very defensive about any questions about what he's going to do or any mistakes that are made. So, he's growing into his job. I hope he lightens up. He doesn't need to start out the press conferences with a description of the game. We just saw the game. We know what happened. Just go straight to the questions. I think that would be my advice to him.
Well, that's interesting because, every manager does it differently. And when you haven't done it, like he hasn't, and maybe that will be an adjustment that he makes. Let's flip sides for a minute. I don't know if you stayed up late and saw the ninth last night.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, the good news is these days that the ninth, it's only about 2.5 hours after the start of the game. It's pretty neat. Like that White Sox game yesterday.
Half the stadium was gone.
Yeah, well.
All the seats were empty. It's like, wow.
That's
1-0 game and everyone leaves.
That's L.A.,
Yeah.
1-0, it's out of hand. But, I really think that was kind of a no-brainer for Ross to instruct Fulmer to go ahead and intentionally walk Peralta just to get to Barnes. And I guess they decided to try and pitch around him and it doesn't work. But I was looking at this. It was from your column. I think the one that you and Lamon Pope wrote a couple of weeks ago, this from David Ross, quote, "I may have my reasons for doing things that may not align with others, comma, but those are my reasons. And the good thing about being the manager is I get to make those decisions."
Yeah, I love that quote.
Because screw us.
After his the Cincy thing, or shortly after the Cincy thing, where he had Patrick Wisdom bunt and he got all the grief for that.
Yeah,
I think I haven't really perused the Twitter this morning, but I assume he's getting a lot of grief for last night.
Yeah, a lot of grief for last night. He said that we're not exactly sure what Will Smith is. Like, he wasn't sure whether Will Smith could have come in, and that's the kind of stuff that I guess we don't know till after the game. After the game, it became very evident that Will Smith was not going to play, was not going anywhere near that game. But either way.
Well, I was wondering, they didn't even seem to, like, broach the subject of what Boog and Sutcliffe is kind of like, you know, if Stoney was there, he would have said, okay, here's who's his pinch hitters, here's, you know, your option, you could walk him here. It didn't seem like that came up, and then it was quickly over. So that's where you need a Steve Stone to explain things.
What did you think of the Ian Happ extension as now paired with the Nico Horner extension, and what they're trying to do up on that side?
I was pretty shocked at that. I thought that, you know, they have these guys in their system that are coming up. Brendan Davis, I thought, would be in left field, and that Pete Kerr-Armstrong would be in center. And obviously, you have Suzuki signed for a few years in right. So I don't know what this does for Brendan Davis. You know, he was your top prospect at one point. Maybe they've given up on him. I felt good for Happ. I mean, he's a good player. I thought a 3-year deal was shocking to me that he would take it, because he could have gotten more on the open market, but he obviously loves Chicago. And it does signal this is the way, if you want to stay with the Cubs, this is kind of the deal you're going to have to take, is a short-term one. I don't know if that's going to be good for the long run, because, you know, most teams are giving out seven, eight-year deals to superstars now. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of against the grain, but I don't know. We'll see what he does. He didn't look very good in the eighth inning on that strikeout. I'll say that. That was not one of his better at bats. But overall, I think it was a decent deal. I just worry about Brendan Davis. Are they giving up on him, or what's the deal? You don't really need him now.
You know, I think that's true. So that might be trade bait. Pete Kerr-Armstrong long term, but short term, you might.
Well, he'll be in center for long term for sure.
You would think. You would think. I think Happ has really impressed them over the last year and change in terms of what he's been able to do offensively. But
he's a switch hitter. He's a great guy. Yep. Everyone likes him, so there's no problem there. Good for the clubhouse. One of the leaders,
right? They could be part of your rotating. Look, if your rotating DH mix eventually includes guys who can play the corners very well, that would be good. That would be good roster construction. As opposed to the Mancinis and Hosmers of the world who are on short deals and probably won't be here when PCA and or Brennan are up. Right.
Yeah. I wonder what they're going to do with third now, too, because, you know, Wisdom is much better this year. You know, it's a short sample size, but he's cutting down on the strikeouts.
Yeah.
Still hitting home runs. And, you know, if that keeps up, if he can be a 30 home run hitter, and, you know, he's always going to strike out. But if he can limit his strikeouts, you know, you're going to have to pay him, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a lot of problems for Jed, but I think people are, or at least the Cub fans I talk to, are pretty enthused about the way it started.
I think they are. Sully, every Jackie Robinson day, I think about and make a point to share Mike Royko's column from October of 1972 that he wrote about Jackie's first game at Wrigley Field, May 18th of 1947, where Mike was there. Mike was there, and it's just it's about so much more than the game. Obviously, you remember that piece.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, Sully used to work for Royko. You were Royko's bag man. Is that the right thing? Not bag man. What do we call it?
I was his bag man. I'd go to the city council and deliver some money. No, I was his leg man.
Oh, leg man. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Close. Bag man.
Oh, his leg man. So leg man meant that you'd go out and do the research for him.
Do the leg work.
Yes.
The leg work. That was where that term comes from. And then eventually there were so many women that did the job. He would have one person as his leg man. And as it turned out, there was a lot of women that did it. So they called themselves leg creatures just to pimp him. just to kind of throw it in his face. And he enjoyed that, too. So because he had a good sense of humor, obviously.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I did a lot of leg work for Mike Royko for a couple of years. And it was a great experience that I'll never forget if I can only remember it.
Well, one of these days, I want to take you out and tip a few beverages and try to make you remember it.
Yeah. Well, read that column he did on Jackie Robinson Day. And also, if you can find his column when Harold Washington was elected mayor, is a classic, too, because everyone was all upset about that. And obviously, he was one of the better mayors in Chicago history, you know. And people, worried about Brandon Johnson should read that column, too.
That's good stuff. Thank you, Paul Sullivan. Appreciate you very much. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks, Matt.
You got it. That's Paul Sullivan from the Chicago Tribune. I'll give you a little bit of that column from Mike Royko when we come back. And a couple other things about Jackie Robinson Day yesterday around baseball I want to get to. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Yeah, they saw it. And then every year on the 15th of April, it's Jackie Robinson Day. Everybody wears 42, and there are no names on the jerseys, and nobody understands who the hell anybody is as you're watching TV. Hey, who's that? I don't know. Is that Freeman or Muncy? Well, Muncy's a little thicker, okay? You know, you're trying to figure it all out. But, man, there was some really cool stuff yesterday. I mentioned the Mike Royko column, which is an incredible, incredible piece. I'll share it on Twitter. But if I were to summarize the wise men here, I'll give you this. All that Saturday, the wise men of the neighborhood who sat in chairs on the sidewalk outside the tavern had talked about what it would do to baseball. I hung around and listened because baseball was about the most important thing in the world. And if anything was going to ruin it, I was worried. Most of the things they said I didn't understand, although it all sounded terrible. But could one man bring such ruin? So it's the wise men of the neighborhood saying that Jackie Robinson was going to ruin baseball. And Mike Royko, young Mike Royko, the legendary columnist, got to Wrigley that day. He went and the crowd was enormous. 47,000 people at Wrigley Field. In 1947, few blacks were seen in the loop, much less up on the white north side at a Cub game. That day, they came by the thousands, pouring off the northbound L's and out of their cars. They didn't wear baseball game clothes. They had on church clothes, funeral clothes, suits, white shirts, ties, gleaming shoes, straw hats. I've never seen so many straw hats. And he talks about the reverence with which all these people are watching Jackie Robinson. And it was a beautiful day. He said he caught a foul ball. He caught a foul ball and it got into his hands. It got into Mike Royko's hands. And he had it. And a voice behind him said, "Would you consider selling that?" And it was a black man who had been applauding so fiercely. "I'll give you $10 for it." $10. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know what $10 could buy because I'd never had that much money. But I knew that a lot of men in the neighborhood considered $60 a week to be good pay. I handed it to him, and he paid me with 10 $1 bills. When I left the ballpark with that much money in my pocket, I was sure that Jackie Robinson wasn't bad for the game. It's such a great piece and such a visceral, beautiful memory. But, you know, it's really cool that baseball does this. There was a great moment yesterday where outside Dodger Stadium, the Dodgers and the Cubs got together because, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, and David Ross, the manager of the Cubs, are good friends, former teammates. So they all gathered together, the two teams did, and Jason Hayward, who you know, and whose heart I think you know if you've been paying attention at all to his Cubs career, spoke to both teams in front of the Jackie Robinson statue yesterday there in front of Dodger Stadium.
Hard enough to play when you got things bugging you, whether it's injuries, you know, whatever, late flight, you know, double headers, this and that, you know, media, all these kind of things that can distract us from just wanting to go out there as a hitter, get your foot down when you want to, pitcher, you know, focus like it's plugging on a pitch on a big stage. But to me, you know, obviously didn't get to play with him personally and hear his story and hear his everyday grind. But to me, he made no excuse and took it as something that he wanted to get this done. He wanted to see this mission through to let all of us stand here today and enjoy and celebrate. So just want to say much respect to everyone for being here and acknowledging that. Again, you know, thank you for asking me to speak, Dodgers, teammates, former teammates, you know, colleagues, you know, much love, much respect, and keep going. Work's not done. Thank you.
Jason Hayward speaking to both Cubs and Dodgers players out front of Dodger Stadium yesterday. Pretty cool. One more thing on Jackie that I hadn't known about until my boss sent me the article from MLB.com the other day. You guys know Carly Simon, the rock and folk singer of the 70s and 80s and beyond? Anticipation is making me wait and You're So Vain. She is the daughter of the publishing scion Richard Simon from Simon & Schuster. And when Jackie Robinson and his wife Rachel had already had, I think it was three kids at the time, they were looking for a house when Jackie was playing for the Brooklyn Dodgers, and they couldn't find one. And eventually someone wrote an article about their difficulties in finding a house. And Rachel said that, you know, at least racism in the South, you knew where you stood. But racism in the North was people pretending that everything was fine and then subtly taking a house off the market once they found that you were interested. Stuff like that. Refusing to give you a tour of a house that was listed. So they couldn't find a house. And Carly Simon's mother saw this news story and somehow got in touch with Rachel Robinson and said, come to Connecticut and meet with me. And they met. And Mrs. Simon said, I'm going to help you build your house if that's what you want to do up here. They had plenty of money. Think about this. He's a big league ball player making a lot of money. And so she arranged that they were able to hire an architect and go through the Chamber of Commerce and build their dream home in Stamford, Connecticut, where Jackie and Rachel Robinson and their kids would move. But while they were building that home, they didn't have a place to stay. So they stayed at the home of Richard Simon and his wife. And young Carly Simon at age 10 was among kids in her family to mingle with Jackie Robinson's kids and learn baseball in the backyard. And Jackie would hit them fly balls with a tennis racket and a tennis ball and teach them how to catch fly balls and stuff. And she loved him. Young Carly Simon loved him. He loved her. She would go to Brooklyn Dodger games and they made her a special Dodgers jacket. It's just really cool. And eventually their house was ready and they moved into their house and the family stayed friends forever. When Carly Simon's mother passed away, Rachel Robinson said, we were more than friends. We were sisters. And I just thought that was really cool. And it made me think about, I don't know, the kind of things that it takes to just go ahead and help, a family, and help somebody who you think might not need any help anymore. Yeah, no, Jackie needed all kinds of help, and that family needed all kinds of help. Carly Simon recorded Take Me Out to the Ball Game. It was used on Ken Burns Baseball. We'll play a little of that right now as we head out towards a break. Chris Kamka from NBC Sports Chicago will join us in just a little bit as we get Cam connected here on The Score.
Take me out to the ball game. Out with the crowd, buy me some peanuts and crack Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, 'cause it's root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame, 'cause it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Every Sunday morning on Hit and Run, right here on 670 The Score, we try to get ourselves Cam connected. Chris Kamka, the Sultan of Stat from NBC Sports Chicago, joins us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Chris, what do you say, man? How are you?
I'm all right. Trying to stay warm. It's a kind of windy, kind of ugly day here at the park, but feel good we're going to get a game in today.
Yeah, it's a strange Chicago weekend, as is the thing, but you will get a game in today. Hey, we got to talk about something, first of all. I don't know how I've missed this, that you hate it as much as you do, because I actually really like it, and I know that we need to discuss. The ludicrous ghost runner rule is what Chris Kamka tweeted about the game where the Twins won against the White Sox on just one pitch. Ludicrous? You say it's ludicrous, sir? Explain yourself. Tell me why you think it's
ludicrous.
Sure do. Yeah.
Look, I mean, there's a magic base runner on second. In my world, a base runner has to earn his way on base. And everything needs to be accounted for. And just starting an inning with somebody on second base, it's not accounted for. And everything has to add up, and it doesn't work.
And
besides, a walk-off, I mean, a two-run leadoff home run is a ridiculous thing. It should not ever happen. Second of all, if you make the last out, you get to be on second base. So you are rewarded by making the last out with the opportunity to score the winning run.
Uh-huh.
That's nonsense.
Okay. All right. So I understand from the statistician's perspective very much. I get that. I mean, for me, from like the entertainment perspective, and from the the fungibility of pitchers perspective, I get it, and I like the instant strategy that provides. I find it to be entertaining and worthwhile in that way. But I understand. So statistically, it drives you batty. I wonder what you would do, Kamka, if you were an NBA statistician with these play-in games where the numbers don't even get saved. They don't mean anything. Did you catch that?
That's gross. That shouldn't be either. Besides what I said before, this robs us of more games that are like goofy 15, 16, 17 inning games where pitchers are out of, or managers are out of pitchers and they have to figure something out. I love it when managers have to figure stuff out on the fly.
Well,
I like to see what they come up with.
Oh, man. See, here's the thing, though. Those games, especially in the playoffs, devolve into everyone swinging for home run or nothing. And I don't think that's good baseball. I don't agree. Like, I know there is romance. Like, I stayed up until 2:30 in the morning and I watched all 24 innings of the Rick Camp game or whatever the hell you did. But, you know, I mean, I don't need that to show my baseball fan credibility. And I don't think it's actually that entertaining when it happens like that.
I'm one of those people, and I'm sure that, like, if I were to say that in the TV truck, I would get bombarded with whatever they could throw at me. because
right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So, all right, sir. You give me what you got. I have scanned your Twitter feed as I always do, and I have found things I like to discuss. But Chris Kamka brings us a White Sox thing and a Cubs thing every week, and it's always thoughtful. So hit me, sir.
Okay, so we'll start with Cubs. Would you like Yan Gomes or would you like 7-run comebacks?
Oh, you know what? Give me the 7-run comeback, because I haven't mentioned yet. Poor Nelson Velasquez, you know? Show up for a couple of days, hit a grand slam as part of a massive, incredible comeback from last week, and then get sent down when Brandon Hughes, the lefty pitcher, is healthy. It's tough to beat Nelson Velasquez, but go ahead.
Yeah. That's not fair. No, I agree.
Right.
But let me ask you this. What do Seahawks and Mariners have in common? I'll answer this for you.
Thank you.
Both of those groups of things can say that the last time they took a 7-run lead against Chicago, they lost the game.
Oh, really?
Because the Seahawks took a 7-0 lead against the Bears on December 26, 2021. And the Bears won 25-24.
Okay. That's the Nick. That's the Nick Foles. That's a Nick Foles game. Which Nick Foles game? Which one?
And of course the Cubs fell behind 7-0 and won 14-9.
Yes,
it is the first time the Cubs overcame a 7-run deficit and won by at least 5 since June 30th, 1929,
wow,
when they trailed the...
Three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Every Sunday morning on Hit and Run, right here on 670 The Score, we try to get ourselves Cam Connected. Chris Kamka, the Sultan of Stat from NBC Sports Chicago, joins us right now on the Circa Resort Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Chris, what do you say, man? How are you?
I'm all right. Trying to stay warm. It's a kind of windy, kind of ugly day here at the park, but feel good we're going to get a game in today.
Yeah, it's a strange Chicago weekend, as is the thing, but you will get a game in today. Hey, we got to talk about something, first of all. I don't know how I've missed this, that you hate it as much as you do, because I actually really like it, and I know that we need to discuss. The ludicrous ghost runner rule is what Chris Kamka tweeted about the game where the Twins won against the White Sox on just one pitch. Ludicrous? You say it's ludicrous, sir? Explain yourself. Tell me why you think it's
sure
ludicrous.
Sure do.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, there's a magic base runner on second. In my world, the base runner has to earn his way on base. And everything needs to be accounted for. And just starting an inning with somebody on second base, it's not accounted for. And everything has to add up, and it doesn't work.
And
besides, a walk-off, I mean, a 2-run leadoff home run is a ridiculous thing. It should not ever happen. Second of all, if you make the last out, you get to be on second base. So you are rewarded by making the last out with the opportunity to score the winning run.
Uh-huh.
That's nonsense.
Okay. All right. So I understand from the statistician's perspective very much. I get that. I mean, for me, from like the entertainment perspective, and from the the fungibility of pitchers perspective, I get it, and I like the instant strategy that provides. I find it to be entertaining and worthwhile in that way. But I understand. So statistically, it drives you batty. I wonder what you would do, Kamka, if you were an NBA statistician with these play-in games where the numbers don't even get saved. They don't mean anything. Did you catch that?
That's gross. That shouldn't be either. Besides what I said before, this robs us of more games that are like goofy 15, 16, 17 inning games where pitchers are out of, or managers are out of pitchers and they have to figure something out. I love it when managers have to figure stuff out on the fly.
Well,
I like to see what they come up with.
Oh, man. See, here's the thing, though. Those games, especially in the playoffs, devolve into everyone swinging for home run or nothing. And I don't think that's good baseball. I don't agree. Like, I know there is romance. Like, I stayed up until 2:30 in the morning and I watched all 24 innings of the Rick Camp game or whatever the hell you did. But, you know, I mean, I don't need that to show my baseball fan credibility. And I don't think it's actually that entertaining when it happens like that.
I'm one of those people, and I'm sure that, like, if I were to say that in the TV truck, I would get bombarded with whatever they could throw at me. because
right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So, all right, sir. You give me what you got. I have scanned your Twitter feed as I always do, and I have found things I like to discuss. But Chris Kamka brings us a White Sox thing and a Cubs thing every week, and it's always thoughtful. So hit me, sir.
Okay, so let's start with Cubs. Would you like Yan Gomes or would you like 7-run comebacks?
Oh, you know what? Give me the 7-run comeback because I haven't mentioned yet. Poor Nelson Velasquez. You know, show up for a couple of days, hit a grand slam as part of a massive, incredible comeback from last week, and then get sent down when Brandon Hughes, the lefty pitcher, is healthy. It's tough to beat Nelson Velasquez, but go ahead.
No, that's not fair. No, I agree.
Right.
But let me ask you this. What do Seahawks and Mariners have in common? I'll answer this for you.
Thank you.
Both of those groups of things can say that the last time they took a 7-run lead against Chicago, they lost the game.
Oh, really?
Because the Seahawks took a 7-0 lead against the Bears on December 26, 2021. And the Bears won 25-24.
That's the Nick. That's the Nick Foles. That's a Nick Foles game. Which Nick Foles game? Which one? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And of course the Cubs fell behind 7-0 and won 14-9.
Yes,
it is the first time the Cubs overcame a 7-run deficit and won by at least 5 since June 30th, 1929,
wow,
when they trailed the Cardinals 8-1 and won 14-8.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that was a crazy, crazy moment from this baseball week. And the fact that Jed Hoyer was up in the booth with the TV guys made it really, really cool. All right, give me the Yan Gomes bonus. Give me the Yan Gomes bonus, sir.
Well, of course, Yan Gomes, the only Cubs catcher since 1901 to hit 2 homers and steal a base in the same game, which is crazy. He's only 78 times in Cubs history as a catcher had a multi-homer game, 74 of them since 1901. The 4 before that came before 1886 when the stolen base became an official stat. So you can't even mark that. So we're not even going to talk about when Silver Flint in 1882 hit 2 homers in a game as a catcher for the Cubs.
Well, I'm bummed that we're not going to talk about that because Silver Flint would be a fun name to say. So I'm disappointed.
Yeah, given his name because of his hair color, of course.
Yes.
They don't have hair. They don't have names like that anymore, do they?
I don't believe they do. Yeah. Crazy game for Yan Gomes the other night with the 2 homers and a steal. That's awesome. First Cubs catcher since 1901.
At least.
Yes.
Actually, I can say it's the first catcher in Cubs history to it because I looked at the ones before 1901, and like I said, all 4 of them were before the stolen base became an official stat.
Mm.
So they weren't even counting them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. Now go to the Sox. Go to those White Sox there, Kampka, sir.
How can we not go Jake Berger today, huh?
Oh, it's amazing. Everything that dude hits when he hits very, very hard.
He mashes, and I love watching it. First 5 hits this year were all extra base hits, and no White Sox player has done that since 2001, the big hurt Frank Thomas. And anytime you could do something that the greatest hitter this city has ever seen has done, it's a good thing.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Furthermore, if you take minimum of 15 at-bats, he has a 1,000 slugging percentage and second only Adam Duvall, who unfortunately got hurt. But let's take a look at guaranteed rate field here, where he hits hard here. And White Sox desperately need power in this ballpark. If you take a look at everybody with minimum 100 at-bats in the history of this ballpark, Jake Berger's second to only Jason Kubel, and White Sox fans know that guy was a Sox killer. It goes Kubel, Berger, Frank Thomas, Gavin Sheets are the top 4, all over 600 slugging percentage. Of course, Mike Trout's sitting at 99 at-bats, and he has 647 slugging, so he'll probably overtake the lead in his next at-bat. But for the time being, Jake Berger's 623 slugging percentage of guaranteed rate field is second best with anyone with at least 100 at bats. Yeah, small threshold, I know, but sometimes you got to, you know, let's have fun with it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's amazing. It's a frustrating team at times, a frustrating lineup at times, but that dude, he can't go anywhere. When Moncada comes back, the fact that you need home runs, I don't know whether it means that the Hanser Alberto era comes to an end or the Gavin Sheets thing goes down to the minors for a little bit, but I don't think Jake can go anywhere.
No, you got to figure a way to get his bat in the lineup every day. I mean, you got to just, you know, resist that whole lefty-righty thing. Just throw it out the window right now. Get the hot bats in the lineup.
Well,
and Jake Berger is that.
He will need a chance. Chris Kampka, you're the best, man. Enjoy the ball game, and hope you get it in.
Thank you, sir. Will do.
All right. He is the best. I love that guy. his passion matches mine. Even though we might be passionate about different things. Couple minutes here to take your phone calls before we reset some things at the top of the hour. Greg in Waukegan has been patient and wanting to talk White Sox. Greg, thanks for hanging on. You are on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Hey, I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. I tell you, I love your show.
Thank you, Greg.
And it's worth it. What I want to talk about as far as the White Sox go is every year this is what happens. This is what I see. 13 for 13 in stolen bases the first couple series.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, they stop running. Example, yesterday, first and third, one out. Bond at the plate, you got Lewis Roberts on first base. Automatically should be still in that base, that second base, because you already know if he hits it on the ground, it's a double play. Hit it on the ground, double play, we lose a run.
Mm.
Every year, it seems, and I know Tim Anderson is hurt. Every year they go through the same hurt thing, same people, but they just stop running. And all these other teams continue to run, Baltimore, Cleveland. We stop running after the first couple weeks of the season for some reason. I don't know what it is. We're not hitting a lot of home runs. So if you're not running and generating runs that way, then you're not you're not going to be winning a whole bunch of games, especially the way we're walking people. So,
hey, Greg,
I want to get your take on that.
Hey, huh? Greg, you know what's interesting? I hadn't even realized it, but you're 1,000% correct. They have stolen 13 bases on the year. They've been caught zero times. The last 7 days, not a single stolen base attempt for the White Sox. Not a single one. There are the success rate these days for the stolen base is at 81%. It is at an outrageous clip right now. Attempts are up, but the 81% last year was 76%. It's crazy higher because of the bases being closer together and because of the disengagement rules. So keep taking advantage of the rules. You are 100% correct.
Thank you very much. And that's just my observation. And it's every year they do this. Every year. They started off same last year. Stealing out of Tim Anderson started off stealing a whole bunch of bases. By the end of the year, the guy has 15, 16 stolen bases instead of 30 or 40.
Well, this is a year, and thank you for the call, Greg. This is a year where your stolen base leader is probably going to be in like the 80s. I mean, seriously, because of the rules and where we are, and you know who leads the majors in stolen base? In stolen bases, I like to do leaders on this show. You know, who leads the majors in stolen bases? This is fun. Come on, Sean, I'm staring right at you.
I want to say the Tampa Bay Rays, but I feel like
I'm looking for individual player. I'm staring right at you because the hat you are wearing.
It's Nico Horner.
Then. Nico
I thought
Horner.
You were talking about team. Yeah.
Nico Horner has 8 stolen bases. He's tied with Cedric Mullins of the Orioles to lead the majors in stolen bases.
He's been taking every one, too.
Every one that can possibly be taken, he's taken. He has not yet been caught stealing. This is Will on the north side, who has been patient, and I appreciate it. Will, you're on Hit and Run this morning. How are you?
Hey, Matt. Last year, I called you, and we talked about the importance of African-Americans in baseball. And I talked to you about the importance of that imagery for the black community.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's important to talk about Jackie Robinson. And I'm a little tired right now, and I'm actually a little hurt. Because we're not talking about right now how few black baseball players there are in baseball, and not just the players, in upper management, in coaching, in general managers. What's the point of talking about Jackie Robinson if the numbers are worse today than there were when I started watching baseball in 1969 and 1970? I've never seen a Cubs team with no starting African-American baseball players in 52 years of watching the Cubs team.
Hey, Will, let's talk for a second. I appreciate the call and I appreciate the sentiment. How much of it is, I mean, this has obviously been discussed a lot. How much of it is systemic issues in baseball that are keeping it from happening? And how much of it is a lack of involvement in youth baseball and a lack of young African-Americans choosing baseball? How much are those things at play, do you think?
First, I teach this on a university level. And it's easy to believe that it comes from a cultural lack of interest. This is a systemic problem that comes from baseball managers, baseball owners, who believe it's a cultural problem. This is a problem when owners and the organization doesn't do enough to perpetuate its interest. They don't do enough to put out there the interest of its own team. They don't put enough out there. They don't do enough to make it interesting to the kids to believe in it. If you don't have people who to look at, why are kids going to say, I want to do that?
Yeah.
If you're not promoting the Tim Andersons, if you're not if they're not there, who are they going to say, I want to do that?
Well,
look at the basketball players and they say, I want to be like that. They look at the football players and they say, I want to be like that. They look at the Brandon Johnsons. On the Score this week, there have been some of the greatest interviews I have ever heard.
Yeah, did you hear hear Sherman Dilla Thomas with me and Bernsey the other day on Friday?
Some of the greatest interviews I have ever heard. You guys need to put some of those interviews up for awards. That makes people say, hey, we can look at this. I can play that in my classes. I can say this is a great example. If we don't have those examples, how can it be perpetuated? How can it, we can say this is the great example?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Of course I do. Of course I do. You know, I spoke with the Seattle Mariners broadcaster Dave Sims the other day for a project I'm doing that I'll talk about later on in the baseball season. But he told me, for those who don't know, he's the only black full-time television broadcaster, play-by-play guy. And he told me that he always seeks out young broadcasters. And he does some work in trying to foster young African-American broadcasters. And so that's been on my mind this week. But listen, Will, I appreciate the conversation. I didn't know you're an educator. We're going to keep your number and let's get back in touch for a later show and talk about it more. Because I hear you. I like so many others, romanticize the past. And I enjoyed talking about Jackie and sharing those Jackie stories. But I very much hear you that bringing it current and trying to build something in a current baseball landscape is vitally important. Thanks for the call. It is Matt Spiegler with you on Hit and Run. We'll continue to take your phone calls all next hour if you'd like. We're here until noon. Aram Layton will talk prospects with us at 11:20. Your phone calls all morning long at 312-644-6767. This is The Score. Dodgers and the Cubs got together because, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, and David Ross, the manager of the Cubs, are good friends, former teammates. So they all gathered together, the two teams did, and Jason Hayward, who you know, and whose heart I think you know if you've been paying attention at all to his Cubs career, spoke to both teams in front of the Jackie Robinson statue yesterday there in front of Dodger Stadium.
It's hard enough to play when you got things bugging you, whether it's injuries, whatever, late flight, double headers, this and that, media, all these kind of things that can distract us from just wanting to go out there as a hitter, get your foot down when you want to, pitcher, focus, lock in on a pitch on a big stage. But to me, obviously didn't get to play with him personally and hear his story and hear his everyday grind. But to me, he made no excuse and took it as something that he wanted to get this done. He wanted to see this mission through to let all of us stand here today and enjoy and celebrate. So I just want to say much respect to everyone for being here and acknowledging that. Again, thank you for asking me to speak. Dodgers, teammates, former teammates, colleagues, much love, much respect, and keep going. Work's not done. Thank you.
Jason Hayward speaking to both Cubs and Dodgers players out front of Dodger Stadium yesterday. Pretty cool. One more thing on Jackie that I hadn't known about until my boss sent me the article from MLB.com the other day. You guys know Carly Simon, the rock and folk singer of the 70s and 80s and beyond? Anticipation is making me wait and You're So Vain. She is the daughter of the publishing scion Richard Simon from Simon and Schuster. And when Jackie Robinson and his wife Rachel had already had, I think it was three kids at the time, they were looking for a house when Jackie was playing for the Brooklyn Dodgers, and they couldn't find one. And eventually someone wrote an article about their difficulties in finding a house. And Rachel said that, you know, at least racism in the South, you knew where you stood. But racism in the North was people pretending that everything was fine and then subtly taking a house off the market once they found that you were interested. Stuff like that. Refusing to give you a tour of a house that was listed. So they couldn't find a house. And Carly Simon's mother saw this news story and somehow got in touch with Rachel Robinson and said, come to Connecticut and meet with me. And they met. And Mrs. Simon said, I'm going to help you build your house if that's what you want to do up here. They had plenty of money. Think about this. He's a big league ball player making a lot of money. And so she arranged that they were able to hire an architect and go through the Chamber of Commerce and build their dream home in Stamford, Connecticut, where Jackie and Rachel Robinson and their kids would move. But while they were building that home, they didn't have a place to stay. So they stayed at the home of Richard Simon and his wife. And young Carly Simon at age 10 was among kids in her family to mingle with Jackie Robinson's kids and learn baseball in the backyard. And Jackie would hit them fly balls with a tennis racket and a tennis ball and teach them how to catch fly balls and stuff. And she loved him. Young Carly Simon loved him. He loved her. She would go to Brooklyn Dodger games, and they made her a special Dodgers jacket. It's just really cool. And eventually their house was ready and they moved into their house, and the family stayed friends forever. When Carly Simon's mother passed away, Rachel Robinson said, we were more than friends. We were sisters. And I just thought that was really cool. And it made me think about, I don't know, the kind of things that it takes to just go ahead and help a family and help somebody who you think might not need any help anymore. Yeah, no, Jackie needed all kinds of help. And that family needed all kinds of help. Carly Simon recorded Take Me Out to the Ball Game. It was used on Ken Burns Baseball. We'll play a little of that right now as we head out towards a break. Chris Kamka from NBC Sports Chicago will join us in just a little bit as we get Cam connected here on The Score.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I get back, 'cause it's root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame, 'cause it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.